Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 scores scope. Yep,
where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't know. No. I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, got you.
Matt, well, you will be getting your book soon.
Left side three. Remy.
Got it!
Levine, turnaround jumper up. Get it! Onions! Baby onions! Put him in the Hall of Fame.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your next order. Welcome back from the weekend, Matt. The NBA was exciting this weekend. Our boy Jimmy Buckets in the NBA Finals. LeBron James in the NBA Finals. Anthony Davis in the NBA Finals. Damn, a lot of Chicago connections heading into this Finals. If I would have told you this 3 months ago, Matt, is this where you thought we would have ended up? Lakers Heat in the Finals?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? No, I don't think so. I think everybody was aware that we were kind of heading for a toss-up. Anything can happen. We've never seen this before. Like a choose-your-own-adventure book kind of finished the NBA season once we figured out all the details of how the bubble plan was going to be, you know, executed, and that maybe for a variety of reasons you might see a dark horse team make it all the way to the finals this year. And that there were perhaps greater chances of that happening because of these strange circumstances as opposed to a normal season. And that's what we saw. And look, I'm not discrediting anything that Miami has accomplished in this bubble playoff run. It's been very impressive. Obviously, Eric Spoelstra continues to prove that he is one of the best, if not the best, coaches in the league. And it was a well-built roster. Credit to Pat Riley. However, while I thought that Jimmy and the Heat were going to be a playoff team at the beginning of this season, assuming a normal season would unfold, I certainly didn't see them going this far. And I also think it would be very curious to see them play those three series that got them to the finals if circumstances were normal. Would they have swept Indiana? Would Indiana's roster situation have been different were this not the bubble scenario? Would Milwaukee's situation have been different? Would Milwaukee have seized the advantage of home court and actually taken care of business like most people expected them to? And certainly with Boston, another team that would have had home court advantage over Miami if the circumstances were normal. So I do think that the bubble has benefited Miami, and it is kind of surprising to see them wind up here. But I think we all kind of were prepared for any number of outcomes and perhaps a dark horse making a run in these playoffs because the circumstances were so strange.
I think there is something to be said about the bubble, and especially for younger players too. You think about the pressure of the playoffs and being a guy like Tyler Hero, who is a absolute vital part of that team and the reason why they're in the finals. Having this experience now as a rookie compared to, imagine 40,000 people sitting in that arena, screaming, yelling, the atmosphere, everything that goes along with just what's going on in the game. People, I don't think, are thinking about all those factors and how much this is different from an actual regular NBA Finals. But to your point, there is an advantage to this. And a lot of the teams in this bubble, whether you stayed for only one round or you made it as far as the Lakers and the Heat did, there was an advantage for younger players going into this pressure type of environment with nobody around. Kind of took that pressure off of them. And you see the confidence that's built in some of these young guys now. I'm curious how that's going to be taken over once things get back to normal. But to your point, man, I didn't think we were going to be here. We talked about the Heat a lot and said, you know, they're going to be a fun team. And I think they're going to make it really difficult for a lot of people in the East. But I didn't think Jimmy was going to be able to pull it off, and he did. And credit to his teammates. Credit to Bam Adebayo, too. That man had an absolute phenomenal game last night. And for him to call himself out, too, and say, you know what? The loss is on me in Game 5. Game 5, that's on me. I'm going to come out, and I'm going to end it and end it now. And he did. I mean, an unbelievable performance for Bam Adebayo.
Absolutely. You have to give him credit. And obviously a disappointment for the Celtics. You know, I thought that they had a slight edge in talent on paper coming into the series. I picked them to win the series. I think a lot of people did. And they fell a little short. You have to question, you know, whether or not Kemba Walker's lack of playoff experience for all of the talent that he has and all of the amazing regular season performances we've seen from him over the years, back with his previous organization in Charlotte, had something to do with it, because the Celtics were asking two younger stars in Tatum and Brown, but Tatum specifically, to carry such a huge burden of pressure and to perform under playoff pressure. And for the most part, they rose to that occasion, but you got to hope that you would have gotten more out of a player like Kemba Walker. Obviously, the late return of Gordon Hayward also hurt them a little bit. I feel like he never really got into a rhythm in the few games that he did come back. But I'm not worried about the Celtics. I still obviously think they have an incredibly talented young core of players, and this is a stepping stone. And Jimmy, with his fearless leadership and certainly more playoff experience under his belt, and just like phenomenal play from Bam Adebayo, you know, along with some of the performances of those role players that you mentioned, you know, not only Tyler Hero, some of his dynamite games, especially his game when they went up 3-1 in that series, but you know, Duncan Robinson, you know, chipping in, Jay Crowder playing very confident basketball. You know, it's a fun team to watch, and it's certainly team basketball. You got to give Pat Riley and Spo a lot of credit. But Jordan, now we get to the point of the conversation where we have to address what has been, I guess, tormenting some of Bulls Twitter over the last 24 hours or so, which is Jimmy Butler, our former star, quasi superstar in Chicago, has made it to the NBA Finals with a different team, and people have a lot of feelings about that. What are your feelings about that?
Kind of over it. Kind of over the conversation as a whole, you know? I've moved on. I've moved on from the storyline and the narrative always needing to be brought back to Chicago, and this is, you know, it's the rehashing of the narrative and the way things went down at the end here that I feel like gets misconstrued by a lot of the national media. And you saw it. It's a perfect example. Just go search Jimmy Butler in the Bulls' name and look at all the national reporters that maybe spent 10 minutes once a month here talking to Butler and paying attention to this Bulls team. You know, they're starting to rewrite this narrative, and I don't like it. I don't like it because I get there was a portion of the fan base that was running Jimmy Butler out and didn't think that they could win, thought he was becoming this Hollywood Jimmy guy, and didn't feel the Bulls could build around him, thinking in mind and keeping in mind that the Reinsdorfs and the front office were never going to pay Jimmy Butler what he wanted. And even if they did, they were never going to have the assets, the money, the space, or the competence to build a team around Jimmy. I want to go back and listen to our episodes 3 years ago, right around this time, Matt, when we were talking about the Butler trade, because one of the things that I remember you and I specifically talking about was, I hope Jimmy goes on, matures, and ends up finding a way to get himself to the finals, finds a way to get himself successful and get to this point. And he did, but it took two other stops after Chicago. So the rewriting that Bulls fans were salty and didn't deserve him, and on top of that, the Bulls said that they couldn't build around Jimmy. It wasn't about that. It was about the money. It was always about the money, and they didn't want to give it to Jimmy. And Jimmy wasn't about the bullshit either. And you saw that with three other organizations too. So for me, I'm just kind of over it, but I'm very, very, very happy for Jimmy.
Before I give our listeners my thoughts on the whole Jimmy getting to the finals thing, I want to tell our Locked On Bulls listeners about one of our great sponsors here, DoorDash. Between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you've got plenty on your to-do list. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. Jordan, my small COVID crew of roommates and a couple other close friends went camping over the weekend. We got back yesterday. We were all exhausted from our camping weekend. Nobody wanted to cook. So we said, hey, let's order in. And we ended up ordering in from a bunch of different places because people wanted different stuff. And that's a great thing about DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. And ordering is easy. Just open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat. Your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and the food will be left at your door. Right now, our Locked On Bulls listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download that DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter promo code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. All right, so Jordan, like, I've got a lot of feelings about this Jimmy Butler stuff. First and foremost, I agree with you. I am very happy for Jimmy that he has made it to this point in his career for the first time. And you can tell that he's happy in Miami. He has found a culture that works with him, that fits who he is as a player and as a personality. And I could not be more happy for him for finding that. I also think that there are certain things that you go back and play the hindsight game don't change. And I think that certainly you were alluding to some of that when it comes to this Bulls team's ownership group and the Supermax deal that was the ever-growing chasm between ownership and Jimmy and his camp. And he felt that he had earned that Supermax, and I think he did. But did he appear by ownership and management to be a player who they could give that Supermax contract to and then build a championship contending team around? And they thought that answer was no. Is it true that this team's ownership group has had a tendency to show loyalty to management over loyalty to its players? Yes, without a doubt, that is true. Is it also simultaneously true that Jimmy's ego and Jimmy's locker room issues were becoming a problem that they could not control? Yes, that is also true. And I'm not saying that's all on Jimmy. I'm just saying he is partly at fault and ownership is partly at fault for nobody being able to control that situation. And people saying right now, oh, all this time, Jimmy was right and the Bulls were wrong and Minnesota was wrong and Philly was wrong. Well, let's be honest. You know, Jimmy wanted to stay in Chicago and then wanted to leave Minnesota and wanted to leave Philly. So this label that he somehow gotten as like locker room cancer that no team wants, it's not, it's like, you know, it's misremembering history. It's misremembering the facts. And Jimmy wanted to stay and build something here in Chicago. He felt unwanted, and that's why he makes these comments about it's nice to feel wanted and to feel at home in Miami, because clearly when the Bulls traded him, showed him the door, he did not feel wanted and he did not feel loved and he did not feel at home. However, I go back to this. In a normal circumstance, in a normal season, does this scrappy Heat team led by Jimmy Buckets make it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals and then the Finals? No, I don't think so. Under normal circumstances, I don't think we're talking about Jimmy Butler making his first NBA Finals appearance right now. And also, a week from now, 10 days from now, however long that NBA Finals schedule takes to play out, I think we will be talking about Jimmy's Heat being a fun story who made a swift exit in defeat as Lakers, AD, and LeBron win the title. So I thought 3 years ago that as the NBA landscape was, with LeBron still in the Eastern Conference and like a once-in-a-generational talent team in the Warriors waiting in the West, Jimmy, like as the Bulls' best team, for the foreseeable future, was not going to be good enough to win a championship. So you might as well start now. So hopefully by the time LeBron is either aging out of his career or maybe has left the Western Conference and the amazing generational team Warriors have broken up, a younger Bulls team is ready to seize power of a now open Eastern Conference. The timeline made sense to me. Signing Jimmy to that Supermax didn't make sense to me. Not believing that Jimmy could be the best player on a championship team at that time, given the NBA landscape, made sense to me. So, you know, rehashing all that shit, it's kind of, as you said, in my opinion, also like a moot point. yeah, good for Jimmy. Did the Bulls, you know, mess something up by trading him? I still don't think so. You could be happy for the guy. You could be sad that he didn't get it done when he was here. You could be sad that ownership decided to trade him and what could have been if instead of the three alphas, they actually just built a team around Jimmy Butler and a bunch of young shooters like they did in Miami. We'll never know. But I'm not going to go like tear my hair out about something that was decided 3 years ago that at then made sense to me and still to this day makes sense to me.
Context matters. It matters so much when you're talking about stories and narratives in sports, especially here in Chicago, because things like to get rewritten a lot or thought one way when really it went the other. A lot of context goes around Butler, and only Bulls fans realize that too. We were the ones living throughout that dumpster fire, and it was just being poured on with gasoline over and over and over again. People want to point out Jimmy Butler being frustrated here, and you want to look at surface level stuff here, but all the context that you just brought up alone, how about too, like, you want to go even back to that last final season? I loved Ricky O'Donnell's article on how he thought Dwayne Wade might have been a plant for that 1 year to bring him, court him to Miami. Some interesting things to think about when we talk about that final year. Jimmy did, like, are we just going to completely forget too? Like, Jimmy matured since he was here in Chicago. It took a whole hell of a lot of maturing to get to the point he's at in Miami right now. And his ass was humbled too. His ass was humbled in Philly. Having to play alongside Ben Simmons and Embiid and feeling like he's like a third or fourth wheel on this team and not playing really well, not playing all that well, not playing up to his expectations. Feeling like he's being lost in this mix. He had to get humbled there, and then he went to the Heat. And somebody bought into the way he wanted to do things. And that's an interesting thing. That's an interesting theme too, Matt, because I think the head coach that the Bulls just hired is all about playing to his players' strengths. And I'm so excited for that. It's going to be so refreshing to see that and hear that. But one example that never gets talked about too is, does anybody go back, and maybe people just don't give a shit or don't care that much, but I'd love to know more about, well, you know, it's okay that there was negative things said about Jimmy here. Some rookies and some young players didn't like the way that Jimmy acted in his last year here, and a lot of that probably had the influence of Dwayne Wade being frustrated with his contract, being bounced in and out of the playoffs, having a head coach that spoke one word every 4 months. It was a culmination of everything that I think just lit everything up here in Chicago for Jimmy. And you know, there can be some negatives from Jimmy, but I think he also had some growth to get to the point that he's at now in Miami. And had he not gone to Minnesota, had he not gone to Philly, and then gone to Miami and dealt with some of that adversity, I don't know if he'd be in the same position that he is right now.
Yeah, and I mean, there are things that we know about the tail end of Jimmy's tenure in Chicago that I think Bulls fans who are right now are saying, oh my God, Jimmy, I miss you so much. I can't believe we traded you. You know, we were all, you know, the Jimmy doubters were wrong. He wasn't the problem. The Bulls were the problem. The Wolves were the problem. The Sixers were the problem. Jimmy got dressed pregame, not in the locker room with his teammates, but in a separate room. Does that sound like something a leader does? Calling out his teammates after a blown loss, as Rondo pointed out, and clap back. Is that something a leader does? I mean, you can have different definitions. Also, the thing that is amusing to me is I think that there is a pretty significant center of a Venn diagram of Bulls fans who want to point to, well, look what, you know, we almost upset the top-seeded Celtics. We had a 2-0 lead on the top-seeded Celtics with the three alphas team, and you just needed to tweak the roster around Jimmy, and like, we were there. We were close. And those are the same people who say, oh, my God, you know, if Rondo doesn't go down, who knows? The Bulls probably win that series. Then maybe they go all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. And the same people saying, I can't believe he traded Jimmy. Well, okay. How are those two things simultaneously true? Because if Jimmy's so great, then he had a 2-0 lead and then loses Rondo and can't close out that series without Rondo? Like, you know, do you see the disconnect there? Because some of these people that are like, oh my God, we shouldn't have traded Jimmy, and that team was so good that had a 2-0 lead on Boston. Well, apparently it was Rondo who was the key to that team being good and actually maybe surprising people with a first-round playoff victory. So, as you said, t- time has passed. Seasons have passed since all that went down. Jimmy has maintained his level of elite play. You know, people are talking on Twitter, and rightly so, this morning about how Jimmy is one of the best crunch time players in the NBA as we speak, which is true. The numbers back that up, and credit to him. And he had 9 big points in the fourth quarter of their closeout game against Boston last night. He is a clutch player. Was all of that true when the Bulls decided to trade him a few years ago? No, to a lesser extent. Jimmy has matured, and Jimmy has gotten better, and happy for him that he's found somewhere he likes. But, you know, my advice to Bulls fans would be to not drive themselves crazy wondering or insisting upon the fact that we made a mistake by trading him when we did.
And I mean, if you want credit for saying, oh, I was right about the Jimmy Butler deal and Jimmy should have never traded, they should have never traded right. him and all that bullshit. Like,
Did you also know there was going to be a global pandemic that made the playoffs really weird? Did you also know that Giannis, the league's reigning MVP, was going to be hobbled by a bad ankle in their playoff series? Did you know all of these other variables that would lead to this? Did you know that LeBron was going to leave the Eastern Conference and go to the Western Conference? All these things that lined up to allow Jimmy this crazy path to his first finals appearance? Because if you're going to try and say that, oh, I knew it was a mistake. All of the things that led Jimmy here, yes, some of it is his success. Yes, some of it is the great work of a great organization in Miami. A bunch of it is blind fucking luck.
And a lot of times that's what it takes. And that's why I won't even engage on Twitter like with this. I will with a question, but I'm not going to go back and forth and continue to rehash and argue with people to make the same point. If you want the W, I'll hand you the W. Here you go. Congratulations. You thought keeping Butler around here would have been better off than trading him away and restarting and rebuilding. I don't necessarily disagree with anybody with that opinion. I didn't disagree with you 3 years ago. But I told you, as far as the organization goes, with keeping in mind the whole entire time that the Bulls weren't paying him, this was the best for the Bulls going forward. It ultimately was. It took us 3 years and nearly me quitting of being a Bulls fan to do that. But finally, we are at this point, Matt. We are at this point where
right.
a new front office, a new head coach, a new mindset, a new mentality, and a new culture. That's what they're trying to start now. But it took having to finally hit the rebuild button again. And I don't know, ask Paxson, it's probably like the 7th rebuild or whatever. To him, it was a first.
Right.
We got to this point because of that, and I think that both things can be the same. Jimmy can have success and prosper, and the Bulls also getting what they needed to do long term.
And I think that's a very important point you just made, Jordan. If the Bulls kept Jimmy and struggled to build the right pieces around him, as they probably would continue to do, and the Bulls were a middling Eastern Conference team that was, maybe somewhere between a 4 seed and an 8 seed for a handful of years and was getting bounced out of the playoffs in the first round, maybe the second round. All the while, you got Jimmy under contract, under Supermax, eating up like damn near 40% of the team's overall salary cap space. And John is still here running the show. Gar is still here as the GM. And
Gar is absolutely the thing safe, yes.
That my buddy Big Dave brought up to me yesterday when we were talking about Jimmy and the Heat while we were watching the Bears game together is the other thing about Jimmy, back when he was still with this team and working with Bulls assistant coach Jim Boylan, you know who loved Jim Boylan? Jimmy Buckets.
So we've had some boots to asses, and we'll continue to have that.
We are over and past now, namely John Paxson, Gar Foreman, and Jim Boylan. And finally bringing in this exciting, fresh face of front office and a new head coach. None of this happens if the Bulls keep Jimmy and sign him to that Supermax to be a one-and-done playoff team in the East. None of this happens.
So a lot of other ways this could have went, Matt. I didn't expect us to spend the first 25 minutes talking about Jimmy Butler, but it's going to be a conversation we continue to have over the next couple of weeks headed into the NBA Finals. I did want to cap this point off, and I guess we're just going to make this the Jimmy Butler episode, considering that was one of several hot topics on Bulls Twitter. But before we do that, before we kind of cap this conversation off, I want to tell our listeners about Built Bar. Built Bar has been a fantastic sponsor for the Locked On Podcast Network and Locked On Bulls for the last several months. Been telling you guys throughout 2020 about Built Bar and their 12 original flavors, including peanut butter, banana, bread, mint brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate, and more. They have 6 brand new flavors for you to check out. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate and soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for the healthy, conscious guy or girl in your life. Lose or maintain weight while indulging it in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. They're great for the keto diet. One of my favorite bars is the peanut butter bar. It's got 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. If you're somebody who doesn't like to eat 3 full meals a day, you're looking to skip, or you just don't have time. You just don't have time and you need to eat something fast on the go. Built Bar is fantastic. You won't feel guilty about packing on a bunch of carbs and an unnecessary sugars. It's fantastic and it's the perfect item for you. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON. You get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. The other thing about the Butler stuff, Matt, I don't think that there's enough, like, let me put it this way. I think both things can be said to be true. Is one, you were okay with the Bulls making the move to hit the restart, but also understanding that it's completely and 100% unacceptable that the Bulls were just going to tell their fan base that you have a potential top 10 player in your uniform in his prime right now, getting ready to pay him. You drafted him. And now you just don't want to pay him the max, and you fucked around for the last 2 years trying to meddle between a contract and try to lowball him. All of these factors and saying it's completely and 100% unacceptable for the Bulls to say, you know what, nah, I don't feel like paying a potential all-star, potential superstar in the NBA. We're going to hit the rebuild button. And that's a damn shame, man. And I don't think... I think you could be very, very angry and upset about that, but understand that the Bulls needed to make that move. They needed to make that move for the long term, and there was a lot more ways that it could have gone positively than there would have been that it went negatively. The negative thing would have been meddling in mediocrity for the next 5 years. And that's what we were so sick of in 2016, 2017, Matt, was the mediocrity, is being the 7th or 8th seed and then getting our ass kicked in the first round. I think we forget about that with a lot of the losing that's gone on the last 3 years, but don't forget about how that felt too. It wasn't as, it wasn't as fun as, like, it was just about the same fun level as being a really dog shit team and having to laugh at storylines like Jim Boylan. Like, being a mediocre team and being bounced out of the first round in the playoffs year after year and not getting any better or improving, that's not fun either.
No, it's not. I mean, I think it's hard to argue that it's as bad as what we've watched for the past 3 years, but I, at that time, was in favor of starting over, knowing that there would be some ugly years immediately following. I didn't think that this team was going to turn things around so quickly when you're giving away a perennial all-star guy like Jimmy and getting a couple of young, fairly unproven pieces and a one completely unknown piece, and talking about Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, and Lauri Markkanen in return. We knew that there were going to be awful days ahead and a lot of lottery ahead, at least a couple of seasons, right? You know, other than those insane optimists over there hanging out with Fred on his bus who thought, like, oh yeah, year two, we're totally making the playoffs. And I'm sitting here saying, please. It's one bad which of, you know, a little bit of a tease and good enough to make the playoffs, but not really good enough to make any noise in the playoffs, or struggling through the first years of a rebuild where things are going to be really hard to watch. Starting the new process, I was in favor of that as opposed to treading water with Jimmy as he aged on a increasing ridiculous contract. Clearly, the starting over part has not gone well. And I am readily admitting that. Obviously, you and I have watched this team play all of its games over the last 3 seasons, and it has been brutal. But guess what? Now we finally have new people in charge, new people running the show, people who are going to come in, develop the young talent we have, evaluate the young talent we have, maybe flip some of the young talent we have, and work towards building something. So yeah, it sucks that the first 3 years of that process didn't get us very far. But there's finally some optimism on a new path. And I feel exactly the same today as I did when they traded Jimmy 3 years ago. Exactly the same. all variables considered, who's probably the right move. Because guess what? I don't think Jimmy's hoisting Larry O'Brien trophy 10 days from now. I'm sorry. I really don't. And that was the point of all of this, right? Can you build a title team around Jimmy? Because of some weird fluky stuff, he got close. He has gotten close. And we'll see how the finals play out. If LeBron and AD decide they don't really want a title all that badly, maybe we'll see something crazy. But if logic happens, if what we expect to happen happens, Jimmy will still be without a title. And there will still be no teams in the NBA that have built a title-winning team around Jimmy, and that will still be true, even with all of the crazy things that the NBA bubble did to enhance this Miami Heat team.
You got to give credit to Miami, too. A lot of credit for them. They made a lot of moves that built a team around that strengthened what Jimmy Butler was able to do. I mean, I listened to Butler talk about Hero after him dropping the insane 30-plus point game that he had, and talk about the way that he allowed him to just be that guy and allow him to have the confidence, and like him talking about how he wanted to go up and guard the number one guy and kept telling Butler, no, this is me, I want this guy. Like, things like that, and allowing the young players to grow and seeing the vision and the fit for guys like that makes a whole hell of a lot of sense. Think about who the Bulls were trying to put around Butler. They thought Paul Zipser was going to be the Tyler Hero that Jimmy Butler needs. Like, that was Chicago's version of Tyler Hero that at least Carr and Pax thought was going to be that guy. Like, those types of moves that put around Butler here, they didn't make it any easier on him either. And the guys that they drafted, they didn't make it any easier on them either. They missed draft pick after draft pick, not sign anybody. So you can understand the frustration that built up in that leading up to that final year with Jimmy here. And Matt, I still believe that 1 year of Wade here influenced Jimmy a whole hell of a lot. I still think that there was a teeter-tottering effect before Dwayne Wade came in for that 1 year, and everything got exploded. And it was amplified, too, by a very distracting, absurd season where you had Nico and Bobby in fists, and you had just a whole bunch of bullshit going on throughout those 3 years before Jimmy left, during Jimmy leaving, and after Jimmy leaving, that just exposed the organization. But again, I'm going back, Wade's influence was a lot. Think about it. Miami screwed him over and didn't want to pay him and made him leave. How bitter do you think he was for 12 months? And how much do you think that influence came out onto Jimmy Butler, him going into somebody who wasn't getting paid or wasn't getting offered what he deserved from his hometown team? There's a lot of influence and a lot of context that needs to be built up around this narrative that Chicago should be at the most blame for letting Butler go. There's a lot of context there that I think Bulls fans understand that, but national media and some others that just want to poke their head in and make fun of the Bulls, they don't get it.
Yeah, I think the other parts of that Jimmy story between when he left here and upon arriving in Miami are, for the most part, now, like, we know what the issues were, and we know what Jimmy demands. We know what Jimmy likes as far as the culture of his team. He demands accountability. He demands that his teammates work as hard as he does. As a guy who was an underdog his whole career, you know, starting as like a homeless kid in high school, being a JUCO player, and then being a kid at Marquette who impressed some people, turned some heads, and was selected as the last pick of the first round of an NBA draft, and basically played 0 minutes his rookie year in the NBA. And look where he is now. So of course he has that kind of demeanor, and he wants that out of his teammates. He certainly obviously felt that some of his teammates towards the end of his tenure in Chicago were not giving that effort, and that maybe Dwayne Wade was also whispering in one of his ears and talking to him about, hey, you know, you're the man. You know, we joke about three alphas, but you're the alpha. This is your team. You got to run this shit. And some of that maybe was Jimmy trying to figure out how best to lead and get his message across in a situation where it was not an ideal situation, because like you were saying, like, he was asking that of a player like Paul Zipser. And it's not Jimmy's fault that he wants, you know, the most from his teammates. And yes, the Bulls front office did him no favors when it came to building rosters around him when he was making his ascension to all-star caliber player and best player on a team. And then you go to Minnesota, and he thought that Towns was soft and that Wiggins was soft. And he went to Philly and found out fairly quickly that not everybody was on the same page, and that, as we have heard again, another report as recently as over the weekend, that there's some kind of chemistry disconnect and perhaps relationship disconnect between their two young stars in Embiid and Ben Simmons. And Jimmy was not about that and wanted his way out of that situation. And so, yes, the Jimmy roller coaster in the NBA has been wild. And even just the last few years since leaving Chicago has certainly been wild. And a lot of people in the media have written and said a lot of things about Jimmy, some positive, some negative. You cannot in any way discredit that, by and large, the Miami Heat are here because of Jimmy Butler. He's the best player on that team. Bam Adebayo is damn, damn good. But Jimmy is the leader of that team and the best player on that team. And again, that doesn't mean it's also not true that a lot of breaks broke in their favor for them to wind up here. And it will do Bulls fans no good to agonize over everything that happened to lead to this moment of Jimmy Butler, Miami Heat star, going to the NBA Finals.
That's enough Jimmy talk for today. Be a lot of Jimmy talk over the next couple of weeks. Give us your opinion, though. 331-979-1369. If you want to hash it out, if you want to give us your thoughts getting here, if you want to give us your thoughts on the new head coach, Billy Donovan, what he had to say, what Arturis had to say, some of the moves, some of the rumors out there, too, surrounding the Bulls, which we will definitely get into at some point this week, because there's some names floating and being associated with the Bulls that, I don't know, had me scratching my head over the weekend. So we'll talk about that later this week. I want to talk a little bit about the updates from the Bulls workouts, too, and some of the excitement surrounding the players coming off of this weekend and so much more. So hit us up, 331-979-1369. We're on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Thanks to our sponsor today in Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com for $10 off. Use the promo code Locked On. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Paul Zipser, who we're high on.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.